The date was January the 6th, 2013, and I bet you hardly anyone in this audience remembers what transpired on that date, at least not without my reminding you of what transpired. Folks, that was a Sunday morning. That was the very first Sunday of this year. It was what we refer to now as our theme kickoff Sunday. And Brother Gary McDade stood in this pulpit at that particular time. On that morning, he preached a lesson entitled, Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. He then taught Bible class. And his Bible class was entitled, You and I Need to Submit to the Authority of King Jesus Christ. You see, our theme for this year is Make Christ Your King in 2013. Over the course of this year, once a month, I have stood in this pulpit and I have preached lessons revolving around that particular theme. And this morning is the very first Sunday of December. This is our very last lesson that centers upon this particular theme, my friends. Almost 2,000 years ago, there was a little baby born, wasn't he? In a city known as Bethlehem. Folks, that was King Jesus. That little baby had two parents, Joseph and Mary, who raised that little boy in obscurity in a very despised town in Galilee known as Nazareth. We know little of his life with regard to his first 30 years. There was one incident in the temple at the age of 12 that is recorded by Luke in his gospel. But other than that, we only know that he subjected himself to his parents and that he grew up to be a carpenter. At the age of 30, however, all changed, didn't it? That young man submitted himself to the baptism of John. And upon his arising from those waters in the Jordan River, the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, anointing him for his ministry. And my friends, it was at that time that he spent the next 3.5 years proclaiming the good news of the coming kingdom of the Almighty God. The Jews, however, rejected the Messiah, and they also rejected the kingdom, didn't they? They, by the hands of the Roman government, placed Jesus upon a cross called Calvary. And there our Lord died in 6 short hours. He was buried in a rich man's tomb. But that tomb could not hold him, and he came forth out of that tomb victorious. He continued here upon the earth for a space of 40 days, at which time he ascended under the right hand of the throne of God. And at that time, he was given a kingdom. And he has been ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords since that time. However, before our Lord departed, he promised, saying, I will come again. And for over 2,000 years, you and I and other faithful Christians in days gone by have been anticipating our Lord's return. The title of our lesson this morning is, The King is Coming. We have 4 points that we want to talk about in this morning's lesson. Number one, the surety of the Lord's coming. Oftentimes in the Lord's parables, he announced the fact that I am going to come again. He didn't specifically state it that way, not in the parables, but that was his intent. Take for instance, when he was talking about the parable of the talents. We learn that there was a Lord who called unto him his servants, delivered unto them his goods. Unto 1 5, to another 2, to another 1 talent. And straightway he took his journey. In verse 19 of Matthew 25, the text says, and after a long while, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. My friends, our Lord was talking about second coming, was he not? He's departed from this earth. He's taken a long journey into realms eternal right now. But one day, after a long while, our Lord is coming again. We turn to Matthew, the 25th chapter and verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory with all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Folks, He's talking about the parable of the goats and sheep. But He makes explicitly clear that He, the Son of God, is going to return again and sit and judge the world upon the throne of His glory. Jesus is coming again. He explicitly stated it in John the 14th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Folks, notice how explicitly he stated it. I will come again. There is no if, there is no ands, there are no buts. Jesus will return. He stood there on Mount of Olives, did he not? And he ascended back to the right hand of the throne of God, and his apostles watched him as he went up. And the text says this, that as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Folks, our Lord, according to the angelic hosts of heaven, is coming again. Acts 1, 10 and 11. It was the Apostle Paul who said Jesus is coming again. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, it was Peter who said he's coming again. In 2 Peter 3, verse 10, it was John who said he's coming again. In 1 John 3, verse 2, over and over and over again, the Bible says, the King is coming. The King is coming. There is no doubt that one day that King will come again. Point number two, have you ever thought about the sounds of the coming of Jesus Christ? You pick up your Bible and you begin to read about His coming, and there are at least five unique, different, never heard before sounds that you and I are going to hear. Three of them are recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Three sounds recorded in one verse, aren't they? Notice the Bible says first that you and I are going to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we can hear that voice now, can we not? By reading the pages of God's holy and divine word. But you and I have never heard the literal, actual voice of the Son of God. But when He comes, the Bible says that you and I are going to hear the voice of Jesus Himself. And the question that I have is this: what in the world is He going to say? Guess what the answer to that question is? I don't know. I don't know. Nowhere in the Bible are we ever told exactly what Jesus is going to say when He comes again. But I want you to turn to John 5, 28 and 29. And we're going to get some hint as to some of the words that He's going to declare. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall what? Hear His voice and shall come forth. When Jesus comes again, I know that those individuals in the graves are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. Folks, He stood at the tomb of Lazarus, did He not? And what did He say? Lazarus, come forth. I wonder if what he shouts on the day of his return will be similar to that. May all the dead come forth, he declares. And guess what? Out of the graves they come. But notice secondly, we're going to hear the voice of the archangel. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the Bible says. That archangel is the highest being among the angelic hosts. He occupies the highest position in the heavens as far as the angels are concerned. And when our Lord returns, that archangel is going to be side by side with the Son of God. And his voice, too, is going to be shouting from the heavens. What is he going to say? Answer, I don't know. The Bible doesn't say what he's going to say, folks. But here's something that's interesting. We turn to the parable of the 10 virgins. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, in verse 6, there is an announcement that is made there. And the announcement goes something like this. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. I wonder if that might be what that angel will declare from heaven that day. The heavens burst open, our Lord calls forth from the dead, and then all are invited to the marriage feast of the Son of God. Come, for the bridegroom cometh. Notice thirdly, you and I are going to hear the trump of the Almighty God. Can you imagine that trumpet, folks? We don't hear trumpets very often, do we? If you've been in the service, you've probably heard some trumpets from time to time, but we don't hear trumpets that often in our society. It was commonplace among the Jews, however. Especially when they were in the wilderness. Everything was announced by means of a trumpet call. A trumpet call is loud, is it not? A trumpet call immediately gets the attention of mankind. A trumpet call shouts from all creation that there is someone important who is coming. The trump of God will sound on that occasion. But there's a fourth sound that we could talk about. Folks, the Bible refers to it as the noise, the great noise of the passing of the heavens. Peter says in 2 Peter 3, verse 10, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I have again no clue what that's going to sound like. Can you imagine the explosions, the popping, the hissing? Who knows what that's going to sound like as all the heavens and all the earth are destroyed by the fire of the Almighty God. A unique sound never heard before. There's one other noise that I want to make mention to you, and it is the noise of the wailing of the kindreds of the earth. Not too long ago on a Wednesday night, we talked about this text. It's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. They also which pierced him. Now listen. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. That word wail there literally means to sorrow and grief while smiting upon your breast. There are going to be individuals who, when they see Jesus Christ, they are going to fall and they are going to weep and they are going to cry and they are going to moan in agony because of his return. I didn't believe in the Son of God, and there he is. I didn't obey the Son of God, and there he is. I wasn't faithful to the Son of God, and there he is. And they will weep, and they will mourn, and they will wail as our Lord comes through the heavens on that second coming, my friends. Five sounds of the second coming that you and I have never heard before. and will be unique experiences for every human being. Point number three. Not only will there be sounds of the second coming, there are also going to be sights with regard to the second coming as well. Sit down sometime and just read through all the passages in the Bible that have to do with the second coming. And try to list in order how everything is going to happen precisely and exactly. And guess what? That's hard to do. Now the Bible tells us what's going to happen. And sometimes it indicates a particular order in which things are going to happen. But sometimes it's a little bit difficult to determine exactly how everything will fall. Folks, there's going to be several things that you and I see that we've never seen before. You know, there were a lot of individuals in the first century, for those 30 years of Jesus' life, who saw him, didn't they? John tells us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that they saw him, they heard him, they handled him, the word of life, he says. Folks, there are individuals who have seen Jesus. They know exactly what he looks like, but not us. But guess what? When our Lord comes again, we will see him. Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Individuals have often wondered, how in the world is everybody going to see him on that occasion? I don't know. I just know that the Bible says that every eye is going to look upon Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You've never seen him before, but now you will. Secondly, have you ever feasted your eyes upon an angel? I've never. But I know this, the Bible says that there is an innumerable company of angels in heaven. Folks, we're not talking about 100. We're not talking about 1,000. We're not talking about 1,000,000. We're talking about millions upon millions of angelic hosts. And you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Mighty angels, strong angels, and all of a sudden our eyes are going to be open and we're going to see those angelic hosts taking vengeance on those who have opposed God and Christianity. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see his angels. And we're going to look around and guess what we're going to see? Every dead person will come forth from the graves. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Folks, we're talking about all the dead, all the way back to who? All the way back to Adam and Eve, are we not? Not hundreds, not thousands, not millions. There's 7.3 billion on the planet now. We're talking about billions and billions of individuals coming forth out of the graves at that hour. What a sight to behold, will it not? When those dead beings come out of that grave, the Bible says that they're going to come out changed. They're going to come out with an incorruptible body. You and I might think, well, that's not very fair. What if I'm living at that time? They get the incorruptible body, what about me? Guess what's going to happen? We're going to watch everybody change just like that. And we're going to watch them possessing a glorified body. Behold, Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, But we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, listen to him, at the last trump. Remember that trumpet? And the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall come forth incorruptible, and we shall be changed. 1 Corinthians 15:50-51. Folks, we're going to possess a spiritual body. What does it look like, Vic? I don't know. I just know it's going to be totally different from the one that we have now. This is flesh and blood. That one will not be. But it will be exactly, exactly like the one that Jesus possesses at this very time while he is in heaven. Dead raised, dead changed, and all of us changed as well. Now watch this. You and I are going to watch the dead in Christ rise first to meet the Lord in the air. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've jumped off a few buildings and I've never been able to fly. And folks, it's going to be an experience, is it not? To stand there and watch all of those dead come out of the graves. But the righteous, the dead in Christ, those individuals are going to be lifted from the face of this earth, and they are going to be gathered together with the Son of God. Then, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Not only the dead will rise, but if you and I are faithful, if you and I are steadfast and diligent, we too will rise to meet the Lord in the air as well. At that point, the earth will be destroyed. 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Folks, this old earth, this thing that we put so much pride in, this thing that we love so dearly, this thing that we want to hold on to, it's gone. It's not here anymore. And at that point, all nations of the earth are gathered together before the foot of the throne of God, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory with all of His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and all nations shall be gathered before Him, and He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Matthew 25:31-32. My friends, you and I, when Jesus comes again, are going to see things that we've never seen before. We're going to be a part of things that we've never been a part of before. Majestic things. Almost terrifying things, are they not? Unless you believe in them through faith in the Word of the living God. And you know exactly what's going to transpire. There is surety to the King's coming. He is coming. There's going to be sights and sounds that you and I have never experienced before on that day. And folks, that leaves us with one other point, and it's this. The safeguards that you and I need to take to be ready for that coming. There's about 4 points I want to talk about quickly. Number one, if you're going to be ready for the coming of the Son of God, you had better obey the gospel of Christ. A while ago, we quoted 2 Thessalonians 1:7-8. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, the gospel has been given in order to save men from sin. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The gospel is the good news of salvation through the precious Son of the Almighty God, who shed His blood on Calvary that we might be forgiven of our sins. And the steps in order to obey the gospel are simple, are they not? We follow the very thing that Jesus did, don't we? We died for our sins upon believing in Him. We are buried in the waters of baptism. And just as He rose, we rise from that watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4. There's what it means to obey the gospel of Christ. Not one soul who rejects that concept will be saved when our Lord comes again. Folks, they will be a part of that group that is mourning and wailing when they see Him. Secondly, it's not enough just to submit to the waters of baptism. There's been many individuals who have done that, have they not? But folks, there has to be adequate preparation on our parts for the second coming of our Lord. Over and over and over again, the Bible uses two words to warn us about the second coming of Jesus. One of them is this: watch. Matthew 24, verse 44. Watch. There's another word that He uses, and it's this: be ready. Be ready. The question is this: how do we do that, isn't it? How do I watch? How do I be ready for the coming of my Lord? Folks, the Bible tells us how to do it, doesn't it? There's some big, broad principles that it exhorts us to involve ourselves in order to be ready. Number one, you always need to be doing for the Master. Always be doing for the Son of God. Matthew 24, verse 48. Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, he shall find him so doing. If you're doing, you don't have to worry about whether you're doing enough. Folks, you'll never do enough. You can't do enough. The point is this: when you arise every day, guess what? You are doing in the kingdom of God. If you're on your job, you're doing. If you're in a relationship with someone else, you're doing. If you're at the church building, you're doing. Regardless of where you are always doing the will of the Lord. That's a key, is it not? Matthew 25, 1 through 13 teaches us that we had better be, verses 14 through 30 teaches us that we had better be using our talents to the glory of God. Five talent man, two talent man, one talent man. Two of them justified. Two of them honored. Two of them accepted by the Master. One was not. Why? Because he refused to use his talents to the glory of God. Folks, you just sit on those talents. Don't use them to God's name and His glory and His honor. You're not ready for the coming of our Lord. Point number three, visitation. Folks, this is one we need desperately today. You know that? Desperately in the church. We hired a preacher to do our visiting. We think the elders are to do the visiting. Oh no. Visitation is a desperate of Christianity, according to Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Remember those sheep and goats? He separated those individuals, and what did He say unto them on His right hand? Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. Sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came unto me. Folks, what's He talking about? He's talking about visitation, is He not? Individuals in need. Individuals who need us desperately to take care of their concerns. The only way to be ready is to engage ourselves actively in visitation of others. Fourthly, you and I must possess a pure and holy way of life. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, Peter says that the day of the Lord is coming. In verse 11, he says this, "Wherefore, seeing that all these things shall come to pass, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" Folks, you can't get out here and live like the world and expect to be saved when our Lord comes again. You can't get out here and engage in all the fleshly activity and expect when our Lord comes again just to accept you. You've got to live godly, righteous, holy lives before God Almighty. Verse 14 of that same chapter says this, that we are to give diligence in these things. Folks, you can't play with your Christianity. It's not an on again, off again activity that you and I are supposed to be engaged in. You give diligence to your Christian service. Over and over and over, day in and day out, you work, you labor, you toil, you don't stop until the Lord comes again, folks. Give diligence. So number one, obey the gospel. Number two, be doing, and be doing the right things, like using your talents, visiting, living a holy, godly life, and doing all of that diligently. Number three, you and I must every day be living in joyful expectation of the Lord's come. Folks, when you and I wake up every morning, you know what we ought to say? This just might be the day. Isn't that right? This just might be it. This might be the very day that I get to meet my Master, the one I've been laboring and serving for. For our conversation is in heaven, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body and fashion it according unto His glorious body. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Folks, He's coming. There's no doubt about that. And wake up every day living in anticipation that He just might come. Never, ever set that anticipation aside and act like it's going to be a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. You may be wrong. Lastly, you and I need to live with patient endurance, don't we? The writer of the Hebrew letter in Hebrews 10:35 says, "Cast therefore not away your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after that ye have done the will of God, ye shall receive the reward." You ever get frustrated living a Christian life? You ever get frustrated looking around the world? Others are just doing their thing, acting like they're having fun. It's all wonderful. And here you are. Oh, I'm just confined by all these rules and regulations. Got to do this, got to do that, got to go to worship. Folks, just step back and live patiently and endure from day to day. Don't cast away your confidence. For you see, it's that confidence that has great recompense of reward. You labor today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you don't stop till He comes. I don't care how tired you get. I don't care how worthless it seems to be, how useless it seems to be, how much of a difference you think you are making. Don't you dare stop. Don't throw away that confidence, folks. Because when the heavens part and you've done that, you will weep and wail on that day. The Lord's coming. You can rest assured of that. On that day, you'll see sights and sounds you've never seen or heard before. And the Bible tells us this: you better be ready. be ye also ready, Jesus said. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verse 46. There's a song that we sing, and it asks a question, and we close with it today. Are you ready? Are you ready? There's individuals in this audience who have been a part of the kingdom of God for a long time. They've sat in church pews and they've heard lessons like this for a long time. And folks, there is absolutely no doubt in my mind that you know